Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Hey there. They're making us brand this segment now, for those of you who are listening, so we have to go through this little routine to intro the segment so you guys get prepped for what's coming. So here's how it goes. Hey there, James. What's on your mind?
No, it's me says it to you. I say it to you this time. So hang on. Hey, Jillian.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Oh, wait, because I'm doing the segment this time. All right, Janice. Well, first of all, I do have something on my mind, but your bra is... fabulous. I mean, it's showing right through your t-shirt there. Janice has a...
I know. I misjudged on the...
My God.
I misjudged.
I mean, here's what's on my mind. What in the hell are you wearing?
It's just a...
Holy cow. There's like daisies, and it's purple and turquoise and pink and gray.
Okay, if you really want to know the truth,
I certainly do.
Since this...
I'd love to know what possessed you.
Since we're venturing into a new foray of visuals, which is new for me, I'm used to... not being in front of a visual medium.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I wanted to I wanted to make myself feel a little more confident.
In your flower
and
bra?
So I thought, you know what? At least if I can't show it on the outside, at least underneath I can feel confident. So putting on a nice bra made me feel good. And then when I had to bring a few shirts, I mistook one that was see-through. So that's what it's all about.
Look at Panucci and Elaine. Look at this. Can you pan to our...
I want to
look at
just...
the... It's not my fault. It's not my fault.
I'm going to cut this.
No, you're going to cut this just straight. Just show it straight. Just show it. Tell people the truth. Everybody listening is going to know that Janice is wearing a flower bra. It's always best not to lie, Panucci. It's always best just to, what do you want me to do, dude? People are going to see on the video cast through her shirt that she's wearing a flower bra, and they're going to go, what the hell is she wearing? It's best that we just say, hey, sorry about this. Janice has bad taste.
Huh? Okay. And so then we can start the segment by going, hey, Jillian.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's on your mind?
What's on your mind?
All right. So, other than your bra, you know what's on my mind? The concept of forgiveness. How's that for deep? Huh?
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm being serious.
No, but it's a deep, it's a heavy topic.
Hear me out. Here's why I'm thinking about this right now. I've got this group of friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dear friends, the little nickname of the group. It's like we have our little, we're very Sex in the City. It's like a group of girls, and then we call ourselves the Tribunal, and like, you know, we're all kind of good friends. And I am kind of a new addition to this group. I'm like 2 to 3 years into the group. But this group of friends has been a group of friends, some of these women, for 10 years, okay? And with friends that you've had for 10 years or a very long time, I think that you definitely, you cross boundaries, obviously, right? And you lean on them in different ways. You become family as opposed to just friends.
Right.
And I definitely think the niceties and all of those, that stuff goes out the window. You stop minding your manners when you've been friends for 10 years and people really get to see you and all your faults. And so anyway, with my girlfriends, right, there's one friend who's fighting with two other friends, and it's like I'm watching these guys throw away a 10-year friendship. And these women are evolved. Don't get me wrong. They're very evolved. They're all very intelligent. And I'm watching them throw away a 10-year friendship. And granted, they both make good points. I've heard both sides of the argument, right? Because let me be clear with you that arguments like this never occur without there being two sides
Certainly.
Of the street, right? So, you know, I've got one friend who she's like, I'm not gonna sit down with them. You know, I know that I don't want this in my life anymore. Then my other two friends are like, you know what? We don't want to sit down. Like, we don't want this in our lives anymore. And then they say, then they proceed to say, and this is the best part, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Which, by the way, always means that you care. It means that you care a lot. And it's breaking my heart because I realize that neither side wants to be vulnerable. So neither side wants to come to the table and say, you hurt my feelings. I admit that I was wrong here, which is really hard to do. And yet they're willing to just write the whole thing off instead of being vulnerable. And instead of like accepting forgiveness without a price tag, without making somebody pay for something, being able to own responsibility for the part they played in it. And it's killing me. It's killing me. And I find that, you know, when I talk a lot about the work that I'm doing in my life, because it's like, you know, the things I talk about are the things that I'm working on. This has been a big one for me. Forgiveness has been hard for me. I am a grudge holder. I admit it. I mean, I just sink my teeth into something and I'm just like, I hold on. And I do this really disgusting thing that I'm working on where it's like, oh, you made me feel this way. Now I'm going to make you feel this way. Now you're going to see how it feels, which is a really bad habit to get into because, by the way, it doesn't help the problem. It just perpetuates the problem. Somebody hurts you, you hurt them back, and then you get into this vicious cycle, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been working on that in my therapy of like rising above because it's not a solution, clearly. But, you know, it started as a kid, like with my dad. You know, he'd make me feel worthless and whatever. And then I was like, no, you know what? You're going to feel worthless. I'm not going to call you on Father's Day or on your birthday. I don't care about you. I'm going to throw you away. How does it feel? And it's something that, you know, a friend that doesn't invite you somewhere, you turn around and go, oh, you know what? I'm not going to invite you. How does it feel? And you get in this game. But the sad part about it is that no one's winning here.
Well, it also takes up a lot of headspace.
God, it sure does.
You know, when you think about how long you think about a resentment like that, how much space in your day that resentment takes.
Oh, my God. An emotional space, energetic space. Mm. And that's really when you start getting into the concept of forgiveness as a whole. And people will say to me, well, you know, he doesn't deserve forgiveness. Maybe she doesn't deserve forgiveness. But by the way, what's your alternative? Because the person that it's hurting is you.
And that's what forgiveness is about. It's
yes.
for you, not the other person.
It's so you can let it go and move on. Even the worst possible things I can imagine that someone could do to you, what are you going to do? Spend your whole life seeking revenge against them? Being
Some
obsessed
people do.
With the crime that happens? Like even, I met a woman, this is a horrible story, but it has a positive ending. I met a woman who had been raped. And I was at a younger place in my life, and I was like, oh, my God, I would just want to find that guy and, you know, revenge, make him feel everything that he made her feel, right? Mm-hmm. And she goes, what's the point of that? That doesn't serve any purpose. Then I just become like him. Mm. And she used what she'd been through and became a rape counselor. And she would go to the hospitals in the middle of the night for women who'd been attacked, and she went through this training, and she would sit there and she'd be with them through their medical exam, and she used the horrible thing that happened to her to help other people.
Right.
But she found the forgiveness, and she was able to grow from the experience and use this thing that happened to her to pay it forward and be a better person in the world, and it wasn't consuming her. And I guess I would just ask you right now, take a look at your life. Look at who you're pissed off at. Look at how it's consuming you, how it's distracting you, how it's using up your available energy, physically and emotionally. And by the way, ask if you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Can you be vulnerable enough to tell someone they've hurt you, to accept their forgiveness without that price tag, without making them pay? And can you be vulnerable enough to admit where you've been wrong? Because do you really want to throw away a 10-year-long friendship, a sibling, a parent? There are certain relationships where, yes, you know what? There can be more bad than good. I know I've been there, right? Where you go, okay, this isn't healthy. I can't do this anymore. Or, you know, the relationship that's abusive and yes, you walk out of it. Of course, there are those things. But be smart about it. Weigh out the relationship. What's good here? What's bad here? Can you set healthy boundaries? Can there be things that you don't discuss with the parent? Like maybe your parents get down on you about your parenting skills and you get in a huge fight and it makes you feel bad. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to engage in these conversations with you.
Right.
But when you go to the ball game with them, you have a great time. Or when you go shopping with your mom, you have a great time. Structure these relationships around the positive and set boundaries around the negative so you don't have to throw the relationship away. And it's so hard for us as people to live in this space of accepting, you know what? You're good and bad. I'm going to disappoint you. You're going to disappoint me because we're human. Mm-hmm. And being able to forgive somebody and being able to own up to your part so that you're not just tossing the good out with the bad. So think on that. Thoughts?
No, I think I just think oftentimes people, me included, sometimes think that you have to, in forgiving, you forget. You don't have to forget.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The forgetting.
I can't forget. I'm not gonna.
You're
I'm not gonna give
forget.
You that one yet.
It's like the great story that woman about the woman who was raped.
Yeah.
Who turned it in.
Yeah.
She didn't forget what happened.
No.
But to move on, she had to forgive it so that she could free up her head, so that she could do something with that
and grow that,
and grow
from it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you got a lot to think about, don't you?
You get an extra point for that segment.
Thank you. A point or a star?
Three ticks.
No, I prefer
the star.
I like the star.
Star for that segment.
So, they did this study in Britain, and they followed 2,100 people for 6 years, and they followed people that work 6 hours a day, or I'm sorry, 11 hours a day, and people that work 8 hours a day. And the people that work 11 hours a day are 2.5 times more likely to become depressed. Mm. They develop health issues and all of this. And really, it's just understanding that our lifestyle has a huge role to play in our wellness, in our ability to heal, our ability to fend off disease, our ability to have a better quality life overall. And so simultaneously, I was reading this article about mind-body healing. Mm-hmm. And of course, that talks all about lifestyle preventing disease. And so this study that Michelle sent me talks all about lifestyle creating disease. So I thought we might talk a little bit about how to nurture a healthier lifestyle so that you can have a healthier body. Huh?
No, but what if you have to work 11 hours a day?
That's a no, buddy. You gotta, no. No. Can't do it. Get out of it. Quit it. Or I will say, I have worked 11 hours a day in my life, but I do love what I do. So at that point, right, it's not really about work. And one of the other things that this study does say is that the people who are higher up on the totem pole in these companies or these employees that they follow, they're happier because they have some control over the jobs that they do. They're not doing menial tasks that they resent or they're not passionate about or that they don't appreciate.
Okay.
And I think we think so much about disease, you know, about wellness as we have to battle this illness. But traditional Chinese medicine will tell you that instead of thinking about battling an illness, change your frame of mind and think about nurturing your life.
Mm. That's interesting.
And that's, again, it's like, where's your frame of mind? Where is your head going? And how is it affecting your body? When you think about the word disease, I mean, you've heard this before, dis-ease.
I've never heard that before.
Disease.
It's good.
Yeah.
Disease.
My point is, let's talk about some things we can do to nurture a healthier lifestyle. You ready? I made notes.
Oh. Do you want me to take some notes?
Well, I mean, if you feel you'd like to. Okay, the first one is obvious. I don't really need them at all. I feel that it makes me look sort of like, I feel very Today Show anchor with these. Huh?
Yeah.
You ready?
Okay,
the first
ready.
One, good nutrition. This is so obvious. Vitamins and minerals, antioxidants, what these things do. Antioxidants, of course, attack free radicals in the body that damage your immunity, that can impair your body's ability to fend off aging. So proper nutrition is key. Here are some things you need to think about. Fruits and vegetables for that reason. Protein, of course, because your immune system is built off of amino acids. And, of course, protein provides amino acids, so lean forms of protein.
Okay.
Huh, Janice?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Here's one of the things you want to avoid, sugar. No big secret that sugar plays a role in inflammation in the body. So I'm not saying don't have the occasional treat, but don't live off sugar. Proper nutrition, common sense. Huh? Yes?
Well, yeah, and you got to watch it when it's in your food. See, that's where I get caught. That's where I get caught with my sugar uptake, is when it's in the food, not when I just eat candy. Because I love candy. But, you know.
Why you got to throw that in there?
Well, I love candy. Did you see out there in the green room? Did you see the candy out there? Sweet mother of God. Santa came to town. There's a whole lot of candy out there. Took every ounce. I only had one Twix. As soon as you left the room, I had a Twix. Remember we had our little lunch, and as soon as you walked out, you said, oh, I got to go change. I had Twix.
Ixnay on the engine may of the Andy K. Don't do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. Don't sell candy on the show.
Well, no. It was that big.
Zip it. Okay. Ready for number two?
Yeah.
Exercise. All right. Now, let's talk about the benefits of exercise. This is also not a real revelation, but I thought I might explain why. It improves circulation. Huh? It boosts all of our anti-aging, fat-fighting, muscle maintenance hormones, which is, of course, really important. We want all those things. But in addition, all these studies are coming out that are saying that exercise is like housekeeping for the body. It helps your cells clear out byproduct and junk and garbage. It essentially detoxes the system. Exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You buying it?
Oh, for sure.
All right, here's one that's slightly less obvious. You ready? Am I asking you if you're ready with every single one?
I don't.
That's not like me to do that. Well, you look as though you're about ready to, you know, you're like you're ready. You're waiting for something. Mm-hmm. So here's the next one. Seek out pleasure. And I don't get all perverted on me. I knew you were gonna do that.
No,
but it's about finding things in your life. So when they followed these 2,123 British people that were miserable and prone to depression, they didn't have anything in their life that they loved. I mean, they're working 11 to 12 hours a day, and there was no pleasure. There was no time for happiness or joy. So seek out things that make you happy. And I even think about there's this I bought another horse.
Oh, my God.
I know. No, hold on. I feel kind of guilty about it because I love my horse Buzz so much, and I can tell he just looks at me whenever he sees me with the other horse like, what the hell is going on? But I bought another horse. It's a long story, but she's a jumper, and I've been taking jumping lessons.
Oh, that's cool.
I got to say, I love it. So when I'm having a bad day or when I'm feeling depressed or when I'm feeling anxious, I get so excited because I have like a jumping lesson that day or the next day. And I find that when you have something, even like this stupid thing that I do, I've got this habit of I'm obsessed now with beach glass. I don't know what it is.
Beach glass.
I go on my beach and I walk for hours and I look for beach glass. Like I hunt for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's cool. It's neat to find. It's fun.
It's like, yeah. But it allows me to not think about things that are stressing me out. But when you seek out things that are pleasurable for you, obviously you're changing your biochemistry. You're changing your brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. You're changing the chemistry within your body. You're releasing all of those positive hormones and serotonin and all of this. And it helps to fight off depression, sickness, disease. So find things that you love. Take up a hobby. Janice, what do you love to do?
Walk. I love to walk. I love to swim.
I like to hike.
These are how you seek pleasure?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I love to swim. And I love to be in the woods. I like to hike way into the woods.
Yeah.
Way up, and when you go way up and see it.
Way up.
Yeah. I love that.
All right.
Yeah.
So find something that you love to do and nurture it. You can go up into the woods, or you can hunt sea glass.
Sea glasses.
What
do you do with all your sea glass?
I have a jug like this big.
And are you going to make something with it?
No, I just like the jug. And when people come over and I'm like this, I just put it where they can see it. And they're like this, whoa. I'm like, I know. Look at all that sea glass.
It's mostly green, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Really?
And I have found some extremely rare red and yellow pieces.
See, that's old bottles. That's old stuff.
You know how hard that is? Although I do cheat now. And glass is not toxic. So before the environmental working group is calling, I'll throw some in there, like purple and stuff, and wait for it to come back.
Wait, you throw it out to the sea? Like message in a bottle?
There's no message. I go to like old thrift stores and I find like old like purple vases and stuff, and I.
How do you know you're going to get it back?
I don't, but it's like I wait for it to come back. I have something to look forward to in case it comes back.
Well, it could be in Tijuana. It could be in down by the where the buffalo.
But I also think of it as like currency. You know, it's like I give glass and then glass comes back to me. I think of it like it's this flow. All right. So another thing that you can do is here's one you're not going to see coming. Believe in something. Yeah. Could be religion. Could be philosophy, could be, you know, whatever it is that you could be your family, could be your friends. But a lot of studies have shown that people who have a belief system or a meaning in their life are healthier. Here's a little, my little notes here, a little study on HIV patients who claim to be spiritual. They have higher levels of these things called CD4 immunity cells, and their viral load is lower. Believe in something.
Faith, right?
Yeah, well, faith. I mean, and you can't, of course, if you're an atheist or if you're agnostic, believe in your kids. You know, believe in your career. Whatever in your life brings you meaning, believe in that. And it gives you a reason to live, which, of course, is going to boost your immunity. If you have something to live for, chances are you're going to fight a lot harder. Belief system. Could be God, could be whatever. It's up to you.
You could believe in me.
No. That would not make me healthier.
You could. I would never let you down. But you could believe in me.
I'll think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Ready? Here's another one. Communicate.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many of you guys don't communicate? So many of you don't communicate. You don't communicate when you're pissed. You don't communicate your needs. You don't communicate when you're actually madly in love with somebody. We don't communicate. It's like this thing in our culture where we don't share our feelings. And when you stuff those emotions, it becomes a psychosomatic effect. People somatize these stuffed emotions and they get sick. They've got irritable bowel syndrome, all kinds of ulcers and all sorts of autoimmune issues. And here's another study that I did. Ready? Because I did my work on this. A 10-year study published in Psychosomatic Medicine found that wives who silenced themselves during arguments with their husbands were 4 times more likely to die during that period of time than women who weren't fighting with their spouse. They also experienced higher levels of depression, lack of sleep, IBS, and hostility in general raises levels of something called cytokines, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, which are hormones that are associated with arthritis and disease. Huh? So speak your mind. Don't hold it in. And I'm not saying, you know, go and start screaming at somebody in the street. Communicate. Share your needs. Do it in a productive way. So, for example, like I wouldn't use, I've said this to you guys before, but like here's a way to communicate with your spouse and to say what you need without attacking them. Ready? So it's called an I statement, not a you statement. So I could say, Janice.
Yes.
I really get, this is hypothetical. I really get upset when you show up late for the podcast. She doesn't actually. I really get upset when you show up late for the podcast because it makes me feel like this is insignificant to you and it makes me feel insignificant. Even though, you know, it might be nothing, it might be your plane was late, but it makes me feel that way. Instead of saying, ready, here's the you statement, which is attacking. You're always late. You're never here on time. You don't care about anybody but yourself. See the difference? So you're saying to somebody how you're feeling. You're not blaming them for anything. You're letting them know something about you and how you would like them better to handle it for you. You're giving them the tools to be better within the context of your relationship. Subsequently, don't feel defensive when they come back at you with their feedback. But there's a little don't do it right
I know.
I know you want to load up. I know you're teeing up there. But
no, but isn't that amazing? Body kind of just went like this when you did the second
one. Because we all get so defensive because we have natural insecurities. But there's a way to communicate so you're heard and that the other person doesn't become defensive.
Yeah.
So you simply say, you know, I've been feeling, and it's not about assigning blame or attacking. Communicate. One more. Ready?
Yep.
This one's also kind of obvious. It's sort of like nutrition and exercise. Sleep. I mean, my God. It's like unbelievable how sleep affects your overall wellness. It affects every aspect, every facet of your life, from, you know, your immunity to your aging to your metabolism. Studies have traced, you know, people who don't sleep, it's like they gain weight, they've got heart disease, they're prone to depression. You name it. So do what you can do to really prioritize your sleep. And we all know 7 to 8 hours a day, a night.
How much sleep do you get?
I prioritize my sleep.
I'm really?
A bitch when I don't sleep. Yeah. No, I sleep. Oh, no. I will sleep over working out. Absolutely. Because if I don't sleep and then I go to the gym, I'm exhausted. I get run down. I get sick. I get overly hungry because I haven't slept, which is going to make me hungry. Then I work out on top of it, which is like adding insult to injury.
Yeah,
I eat too much and I'm just a monster. No, I sleep sick. How about you?
No, I like to stay up. I find projects. I can find about 16 projects about 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I know I've got problems, but I'm working on it.
Okay, this is perfect. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be me or you want to be James? I think we can end right here. Let's end right there. Let's end right there.
Of course.
Well, you done me in your bed, I felt it. I tried to be chill, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest. And nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Here's what I want to talk about today. Here's what's on my mind. I don't know why I bother to take these notes. I think it makes me feel official. It's like a little safety net, my notes.
I agree.
Yeah. So here's what's on my mind.
Okay.
Living in the present.
Ooh, tough one.
God, it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? What is so hard about that? Why is
that's
that
a loaded
so
question.
Hard? Is it because we're afraid that if we're in the present moment that we're going to have to actually feel the things that are going on and we're so busy being numbed out or distracted? Is that, but I'll get back to that. The reason I bring this up is because Caesar Milan has been working with one of my dogs, Richard, right? Why is that funny? Why is that funny?
I love human names on dogs.
Richard. I might have a picture of Richard that I'll pull up for you in a bit. So he's been working with Richard. Richard is a Chihuahua, yeah? And he's a rescue dog. And the little bastard is just vicious. Like, people can't walk in the house without Richard just losing his mind.
Mm.
I mean, I've had the same housekeeper for 3 years. Actually, 5 years I've had my housekeeper. But Richard has only been there for a couple of years. And this poor housekeeper, she comes twice a week, and Richard follows her up and down the stairs. All day long. If you walked in the house, he'd be like, it's just, I mean, there are times when Richard even bites me. And so he's just like, you know what? I've decided that I am furious today. It's like, it's, you know, and with kids coming in the house, it's going to be a problem. Like, I don't want, you know, the toddler dropping a Cheerio and the Chihuahua biting her.
Mm-hmm.
So Caesar came in and it was really interesting. He started talking. He was working with Richard and he was telling me that Richard has like a very sensitive issue with his backside, his rear end. And I was like, well, why? And he goes, I don't know. Could have been, you know, who knows? So the vet could have stuck a thermometer in his butt and it could have made him mad. It could have, you know, who knows? Somebody could have done something to him and who knows? Who cares? And I, you know, for me, I'm always so busy looking at why is somebody behaving in the way they're behaving so that I can help them become aware of when they're historically charged. So, you know, Caesar's like, I don't know. I can't ask the dog why. I can't go back and go, why is your butt sensitive for you? He's like, I just need to teach that dog that in the present moment, he's safe and there's no problem with him getting hurt or, you know, he's retraining Richard to be in the present and to recognize that he's safe, which is just such a foreign concept for me. And with people, the other day, right, my friend Mel, we go to the supermarket and this woman uses a plastic bag for her groceries. My friend is like, she's very serious about, you know, her causes, and she's one of those. Like, I love her to death. She makes the world a better place, without a doubt. But she is, you know, she is like vegan. She wears pleather and not leather. It, you know what I'm saying?
Did she, like, take the woman down for using the plastic bag?
She was furious. Meanwhile, you know, there are times when I forget my burlap grocery bag. There are times I've been guilty of that. I mean, Mel was, for an hour, wow, what is wrong with her? And finally I was like, honey, okay, this is not really about the bag. So this reaction is too strong to be about the plastic bag.
Right.
So what in the hell is really going on? Like, what's going on for you when the lady uses the plastic bag? And she said, you know, she's just so inconsiderate. She's so inconsiderate. She's not thinking about any of us. She's so selfish. And, you know, what about the rest of us? What about the rest of the planet? What about how we feel? What about what we want? And I was like, all right. I'm like, okay, buddy, where, you know, so do you feel this way a lot? And she's like, well, yeah, I mean, every day I see things like that. And I'm like, uh-huh. And how many years have you been experiencing this feeling? And she's like, you know, and it goes all, you know, she goes all the way back to her childhood. You know, her father was an inconsiderate, selfish ass who never, ever thought about his family or what they needed or what they wanted. And so she continues to play out this pattern and this dynamic in her everyday life. So she's going to see and find scenarios
to match that.
To match her story and her internal dialogue of childhood of, like, people are inconsiderate, they don't care about her or her needs or the world and their needs. And while I get it, it's like, okay, the woman used a plastic bag. We don't know what was going on with her that day. Or, you know, maybe she's going to recycle the plastic bag. I've done that before. While I get it, I was like, buddy, this is, you know, I get you're pissed about the bag, but this is historical. You're having this giant emotional response because of, you know, your background of feeling inconsiderate, and this has become your story, and now you're constantly looking for experiences that validate your internal dialogue and your story, because change is really hard. But if you can become aware of the fact that it isn't really about this woman, it really is about your dad, and that who knows what she's going through, and in the moment, if you can stop and say, you know, this isn't about her. This is about my childhood stuff. I'm being the change I want to see in the world, and really focus on that solution and start emphasizing the positive aspects of people around you. Mm-hmm. It'll help you. But for me, it's so much about looking into the past and then, of course, looking towards the future. What do we want? Setting our goals. What are our goals? Get that vision board out. So you're always living in the past or the future. And while I think that it's so important that you do live in both of those worlds and you incorporate both of those things, because we grow from past experiences. We learn from the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
We learn from it. Like, we don't want it to define us, but I think it's really important that we learn from our past. And I think it's really important that we plan for our future, even though, you know, you can plan as much as you want, but the key is obviously to be prepared, because life's going to go in whatever direction it's going to go. But that whole concept of, just for Caesar, it's all about the present. It's all about in the moment. What can we do right now? How can we change our behavior in this moment? How can we let the past go and drop that story of my dad was a jerk, so everybody's a jerk? And I called my friend and I was like, okay, the next time you're at the supermarket, here's what you're going to do. I want you to look for everybody with the burlap bag. And then I want you to be elated that all those people are making the shift, are more green. I want you to live differently today. Don't get mired down in the fact that your dad was an a-hole, or that people are inconsiderate, or that the world can be a dark and bitter place. Instead, right in that moment, you go and you look for the positive in the world. Look for the people that are like-minded, for the people that are doing their best to change. What are the behaviors that you can incorporate now to live your life a little differently, to be happier in the moment? And how can that help change who you are and your story and your level of happiness?
No, I like I love the fact that Caesar said to you, "I don't care what happened to him."
He didn't. He doesn't. He's like, "What do I? Who cares? I don't know." That the dog.
Yeah. Well, that's with substance abuse or overeating. Why am I drinking? Why am I doing drugs? Why am I eating?
Why don't I love myself enough? Yeah.
And so then we search back there. But it's true because we can't control the past and we can't really control the future, but we can kind of control what's going on today.
Yeah.
So, but we don't want to. That means we have to be responsible.
That's exactly it.
It's better to live over there than back there because it's like, well, I couldn't.
Yeah, I'm a victim of the past.
I'm a victim of the past and things just ain't going to work out.
You're right.
So it's a very...
But in the present tense, you now, there's no one victimizing you right now. There's no one
right
imposing that story on you right this minute. So guess who it falls on to make these choices? You.
Yeah.
Who it falls on, like, whether it's going to bother you, whether you're going to continue to be destructive. And although my friend has her little bag, great, but she's allowing this experience to ruin her entire day. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think it's so hard to be in the present because now you have to take responsibility. And people are afraid to take responsibility because they don't feel capable of being able to be that change or make those changes or be different. But the truth of the matter is you might not be able to right away. You might not be able to run for 5 minutes straight or to emphasize all positive, or you might not be able to do that, but you work at it. Mm-hmm. You practice it. You cultivate your ability to do those things. So just be prepared that it's going to be hard. And you're going to go in and out of it. But I just think, you know what? If you want to make real change in your life, it's great to understand why you do what you do. And it's great to have a plan for the future. But ask yourself this. What are you going to do differently right now to help yourself be better? Have a better life? Live better? What are you going to do? How are you going to see the world differently?
Well, I'm certainly going to bring a burlap sack to the grocery store.
I
don't want to run into you and
your
friend.
No, not me. Well, me. Yeah, no, I might be. No, I'm environmentally keen, too.
Yeah, no, I know you are.
I'm keen.
Yeah.
See my cup? No plastic bottles around
here. That's right.
All righty. Yeah. I'm ready for another segment. You love the people that love you. You hear the music play.
It's caller 911 time, and we have Kelly from St. Louis, Missouri, waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Kelly, what's going on?
Not much. I just have a little problem that I'm sure many people have, and I'm sure you've heard a million times. But I tend to be like a binge eater, and anytime, even if I'm not bored or stressed or anything, I just like go and grab a bag of chips and just like literally nonstop. It's like a hit. Like I'm like under hypnosis. Just like I just eat.
Yeah. I so know how she feels.
I know. I know. I do too. I do too. Okay, honey. Tell me something. So are you struggling with weight as well? Or is this just... Because by the way, you don't have to be overweight to do this. But is it also a weight question and you're having trouble losing weight because you're eating constantly, mindlessly?
I don't really have a weight problem. Like, I mean, I have like vanity pounds that I could lose, but like I'm training for a half marathon, so I work out like a lot, like 5 times a week. So I don't know if that makes me hungry more or... Once,
yeah.
But no, it's not. I guess it could be adding to my weight. Like, I could be not losing the vanity pounds because I'm binge eating, or I don't know.
When you say binge eating, are you literally binging, or are you just picking throughout the day, or is it both?
I would say it's more of, I don't know. Like, I feel like hungry, and then I'll go like grab a bag of chips, and then like my mind will just like disappear, and I'll just keep eating. I don't know what I'm trying to, like, fill with that, or I don't know.
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, you are training for a half marathon, and you don't have a ton of weight to lose, as you're saying. So the physicality of this is that your body is probably going to want you to eat. So with that said, your body's probably going, oh, my God, we're training all the time, and I'm not eating that much. So what I want you to start doing is looking for cues of whether or not your body is hungry when you go to eat. And this is something you should do no matter what. If you have weight to lose, if you're mindlessly eating, whatever it might be, before you go to eat something, when is the last time I ate? Was it within the last 2 to 3 hours? Do I have physical signs of hunger in my stomach? Is my stomach growling? Do I feel lightheaded? Am I dizzy? Is my blood sugar low? Check for physical signs of hunger. If the answer is yes, then you're hungry. You're physically hungry. And then you should prepare a meal and sit down and consume it. And make eating a ritual, a healthy habit, not something that you do on the go, over the sink, which, my God, I've been guilty of. I can't even. People come over to my house and they're like, why are you standing up over the sink? I'm like, and it's just from childhood. I stand over the sink and eat like a freak. It's just unbelievable. I don't know why I do it. Or just years of being single. I don't know what it is. So I want you to, years of that, I want you to sit down and make a meal, a proper meal, so you're not grazing and picking and losing track of things and being mindless. Be mindful. Enjoy the food. Savor the food. Celebrate the food. And feed your body. Now, if you're going for food and you go, you know what? No, I'm not hungry. I just ate something an hour ago. I have no physical signs of hunger. Ask yourself, take a little inventory, what the hell is going on? So what is happening for you in that moment? Are you bored? Are you anxious? Are you sad? Are you mad? What are you trying to either distract yourself from? And that's really what happens. It's like we kind of mindlessly eat because we're trying to sort of numb out from something when we are binge eating or, you know, constantly emotionally eating for whatever reason it might be. Do you find that you're doing a lot of that?
I think so. I'm a nursing major, so like constantly studying, and I don't know. I guess it is from stress and emotions, and like I'm always in a constant state of high emotions. Mm. So I don't know. I guess it's from that too, but it just like kind of like gets those endorphins up, and I'm just like, I don't know. I was a real fat kid too, so I've always gone to food as just like, I don't know. It makes me happy and it reduces my stress level a little.
Hey, Kelly, is it chips you're always, you know, porking down on? Because I know for me, I'm craving the salt. Like, I'm wondering if you're really craving salt.
I would say 9 times out of 10 it's chips. But I mean, even in like, I like eat in like a cafeteria at my school, and like I've had people tell me, or I've overheard people be like, "Whoa, she eats a lot." Just like, because I don't know, I just like keep going to the food, and it's weird because it's a miracle that I'm not. That I am not morbidly obese, but...
Well, you're okay. It sounds to me, though, sweetie, I don't hear... You know, if you're eating a lot, you're training a lot. Mm. Yeah, so, like, if you said to me, you know, I eat every hour on the hour, I just go grab food and I don't think about it. Like, if you said, you know, but you do talk about emotions, so here's what I'm going to tell you. I want you to run that test, okay, where you check for physical signs of hunger. If you are not physically hungry, I want you to identify the emotion that's going on for you in the moment. And then I want you to create a series of behaviors that you can turn to that are not food related. So it could be calling a buddy. It could be going for a run. It could be engaging in a hobby that you love to do. So, you know, for me, it's like I like to walk on the beach. And I go and I hunt for sea glass now, and that's like it distracts me. It becomes my mindless thing, my thing that I can do that gets me out of my drama and my anxiety. Or, you know, I'll go for a ride on my horse, or I'll take a hike with my dog, but I get out and away and I burn off that energy and I process it in a way that's life affirming and not destructive. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to take that emotional inventory, determine if it's physical hunger or an emotional issue. If it's an emotional issue, identify the emotional issue and then have that list of things you can turn to that are productive versus destructive to make you feel nurtured and to utilize as an outlet for these feelings. But I think I'm getting the feeling, and so is Janice, that this is just, you're training a lot. Like,
you're hungry.
You're hungry. Yeah, you're probably sweating. You're training for a half marathon. You're probably sweating, which is why you'd probably want salt. Your electrolytes might be slightly imbalanced.
I love the salt and vinegar chips.
I'm like Kelly. I can mow down a whole bag. Just gah.
Which ones are you eating?
Oh, Miss Vicky's.
No, eat pop chips are way better.
Yeah, but I get it.
Stickies are fried. They're loaded with calories.
Yeah, pop chips are sure taste good. Salt.
Jesus. All right. You follow me, kid?
I think I got it.
All right, buddy. Have a great day.
Okay, we gotta go.
We go through this every time.
No, I don't go. You go through it every time.
Every time.
You've got issues.
You have issues. You're always so ready to go.
No, I think you have issues saying goodbye. I think you're one of those. You're like the Von Trapp family. It's like, finally, get the little kid up to bed. Go to bed. Goodbye. Good night, little easel or whatever your name is. Go to bed.
Who's Von Trapp?
Oh, sweet God. We've gone through the Sound of Music.
Oh, I told you I didn't watch that.
Oh, my God. Would you watch it? It's pop culture history. The little kid.
History is the word you're talking about.
Oh, you know what?
History. Ancient history.
I'll sing it again if you don't say goodbye.
Okay, goodbye, everyone. Now the old king is dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key. Next, the walls were closed on me. And I discovered that my castle stands upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.